cheeky backheel.
With ease, Miguel Aziz's first goal for Portsmouth.
Into the path of Smith-Rowe, into the box. Smith-Rowe scores! A really deserved first goal in Huddersfield Town colours.
Reece Nelson. Reece motherfucking Nelson. I don't know what else to say to start it off. I have not stopped watching the replays. It's one that hits especially close to home. I truly mean this when I say this, that Reece Nelson is the sole reason and the number one reason that I started following Hail End as closely as I do now, and why I bring this podcast to you. Truly, when Reece Nelson went on his first loan spell to Hoffenheim, I remember watching week in and week out when I could all of his matches and thinking to myself, why isn't there an easier way to digest content about the loan players that we have at Hail End? There are so many exciting ones at the time then, just the beginning of the golden generation that we're in now. And that idea stuck in my head for 3-4 years before I started this Twitter account, and now eventually the podcast. But Reece Nelson, unbelievable moment for him, for a kid who not only is Arsenal through and through, but one who's had his ups and downs, his trials and tribulations, his moments of brilliance and his moments of frustration, his loan spells that have gone well, and they've been dry at the same time as well. But for him to have that moment in what's already historic season for Arsenal, at the Emirates in front of a frantic crowd, and to handle it with such unbelievable calmness, just shows you the kind of player that he expects himself to be. And I think that speaks volumes to what his potential is and what his future can be. Was often regarded as the biggest prospect of this golden generation out of Hail End. He has seen the likes of Saka, Smith Rowe, Nketiah, even Charlie Patino in ways, jump him in that ranking amongst public perception. But Reece Nelson, I tell you, when Reece Nelson gets rolling, there will be no stopping him. He has an aura and something to him that cannot be taught. And when he can finally reach those physical levels that it takes every player a different amount of time to get to, there is a monster that will be woken up inside of him. That technique he had to hit that shot the way he did, that technique is almost unteachable. Think about Saka. Saka's finishing has improved incredible amounts, and that's because his biggest strength is mentality. He is a grinder. He is going to perfect every aspect of his game until he is one of the world's best. Reece Nelson was given a gift in many ways. Not that he isn't a grinder now, but it's been well spoken about that, you know, he had some lackadaisical tendencies in training and whatever it might be, which is very common amongst youth players. I'm not pointing Reece Nelson out in any way, shape, or form. But what an unbelievable strike, an unbelievable cameo. He has 5 goal contributions in 85 minutes of Premier League play. I mean, that's a small sample size, but he could play another 390s, and that would still be excellent amount of goal contributions. He may have changed our entire outlook on our front three just in a 30-minute cameo. And yes, there's overreactions going on everywhere. Oh, we don't need to buy a forward next year. Oh, we don't need to buy, you know, protection for Saka next year, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I believe we need to add to our front line, whether that's Balogun coming in, whatever it might be. But Reece Nelson has certainly put himself in a position to earn a spot in this side for the rest of this title challenge and Europa League push. And I just hope he stays healthy. You can tell by his strides that he has grown physically, his confidence has grown, and that he is ready to take the league by storm and take the world by storm. And the exciting thing to me is that he wants to do it at Arsenal. It's been made very clear that he wants to agree to a contract extension at Arsenal. And I think we're going to see that happen. And I think that this past weekend played a big role in that. An unbelievable performance all in from him, Ramsdale, Partey, the whole lot. They worked their damn asses off. Smith Rowe coming in and playing 60 minutes after he has not played in such a long time, getting an assist. Just the whole thing. I mean, the atmosphere, incredible. I was screaming at my TV. I had to leave immediately, my apartment, immediately after we scored. I had something to go do. I get on the subway in New York City, and I'm sitting there literally wiping tears off of my face. Just an incredible moment. And I think the fact that it was one of our own, and someone who has gone through so many ups and downs, but a player that everyone has believed in for so long is the one who did it, made all the biggest difference. Nonetheless, Reese Nelson is the reason we are here, but he's also not the reason we're here. We're here to talk about the current players from Hale End that are on loan, and in similar exciting news, Marcelo Flores got his chance again. A player we have basically not spoken about since December. Someone who, at the beginning of the year, I said, I have this phrase stuck in my head that I remember saying and feeling like an idiot about, that the word bounceability with Marcelo Flores was going to be our hot word all year on this podcast. Meanwhile, he's been on the bench, but back in the starting 11, his first start since December, played 57 minutes in a 1-0 loss to Mirandas, but nonetheless got the minutes. And hey, this wasn't his best performance as a footballer, there's no doubt about it, but there are little things to be excited about here and there, and that's what we're going to have to pick up on. By the numbers, 7 of 13 passing, 3 successful dribbles, an accurate cross, 3 out of 9 ground duels won, and 1 of 2 aerial duels won. Yes, he struggled at times to implement himself physically in this game, but when you don't play for 3 months, you're not going to be match sharp. It's impossible to be. Think about the fact that most guys, when they go out for this long period of time with injury, go into the U21s, play 45 minutes there, get themselves back up to match speed. They'll come in, make a cameo, play 12 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes before they're going to get a start. Marcelo Flores comes right in and starts after not playing since December. And what I liked about it is he was still willing to try and take a man on even after he got bumped off the ball physically a few times. You kind of could tell he knew this was his chance and he was going to take it no matter what, and I like the selfishness. He deserves to be selfish. A couple of times he went by 2-3 players. Yes, he was only 3 of 7 on 2 dribbles, but I like that he's taking the chances. That's the kind of player he is. You want him to try and take a man on. There were times he held on to the ball a little bit too long, second-guessing his passing options. Felt like maybe he knew every touch needed to be brilliant if he wanted to stay on the side, and I feel bad about that for him. But you can't fault him for always wanting to play forward. He had a really nice run in the second half where he took 2 men out of play, played a nice progressive pass into midfield, but then his midfielder made a backwards pass for no reason when he could have kept moving play forward. I do imagine the plan here was for Marcelo Flores to play 60 minutes because he hasn't played in so long and no more than that. I hope he stays in the side. I can see why he might not. It wasn't the world's greatest performance. He's not necessarily up to the physical challenges of this league, and I mentioned from the beginning this is an incredibly physical league, which I was not expecting. But nonetheless, exciting for him to get some minutes, and you know, maybe he'll get back into rotation at the very least, be a bench option for a team that needs a little bit of flair every now and then. Speaking of players back in action, Omar Rekik, 2 appearances back from injury this week, played 58 minutes in a 1-1 draw with Birmingham City, another one where I expect 60 minutes was the plan to get him back up to full match fitness. 50 of 61 passing, 2 out of 2 successful dribbles, 2 of 3 ground duels won, and 2 of 3 aerial duels won. He played on the left-hand side of a 3-center-back situation in Wigan's back 5. He looked very confident on the ball. He doesn't ever seem to be nervous about the pressing forwards, about passing lanes, about playing out from the back, and whether or not that's always the best in the championship for a team that's in relegation form, I'm not sure. But nonetheless, his calm presence on the ball has made an effect on this Wigan backline. I will say, with Omar Rekik, there's a lot of the good that you see from him at youth levels in his senior game, but also some of the bad. He does a little bit of ball watching when he's marking a man in the box. A little bit of, oh, the ball's out to that area. I'm in the right position now, but not looking. My head's on a swivel. Where's my man? Where's the space in behind me? That's the troubling thing about Omar Rekik. But at the same time, his confidence on the ball allows for Wigan to keep possession in a way that they hadn't in the first half of the season. He dribbles through midfield with such ease. He has great running power on the ball. He's confident. He's not going to lose it. I have not seen him lose a ball in midfield yet when he goes on one of these runs. And it oftentimes creates Wigan's best chances of the game. But a good 58 minutes here for him. Got the start again on the midweek. Played the center of the back three in a 1-0 loss to West Brom, and this was a really impressive performance for me by Omar Rekik. 60 of 73 passing, 4 of 7 on long balls, 2 clearances, 2 interceptions, won 2 out of 6 ground duels, and 5 of 8 aerial duels. He went up against one of the most physically demanding strikers in the championship, if not the most demanding, in Daryl Dike, who is an absolute brute of a center forward. Will contest every single long ball. He will put a hand in your shirt and grasp it and shove you to the ground and push you around on every chance he gets. That's how he's going to beat you. And I thought Recky did a really nice job going up against him and not shying away from a single one of these encounters. 5 aerial duels won against Daryl Dike is incredibly successful. The goal, however, it was a little bit of a weird one. I'm not going to say Recky was totally at fault. It was a sort of half-cross shot that went off the crossbar. Rekik was kind of doing a little bit of ball watching, watching the shot come in, and DK kind of peeled off of him. It went off the crossbar in a weird way, and he wasn't even the closest defender to DK when DK headed the ball into kind of an empty net. It's one of those where, again, Rekik does a little bit of ball watching, but what he does on the ball in this match is out of this world. A couple of those gallivanting runs through midfield. His distribution, he had a ball over the top that I think created Wigan's best chance of the game, where he received the ball basically right outside of his own box in the dead center of the field. He played a long, spraying, swerving ball up to the right flank, which allowed a Wigan attacker in to play across to a wide-open man on the box who just missed the header. But these types of things have allowed Wigan to expand their play, be much more expansive in possession, progressive in possession, calm in possession. Very excited by what Omar Rekik has done. And to step into the championship in such a physical battle after basically not playing the whole first half of the year, coming in and then missing 4 weeks. Very impressive stuff for Omar Rekik. Excited for the second half of the year for him and the next 2-3 months. And crucial matches for Wigan Athletic. Fuller and Balogun played the full 90 in an amazing 1-0 win over AC Ajaccio. Kajuste scored a winner from 25 yards out in the top corner. 90-plus minutes, stoppage time. This is an incredible run for Will Still, Fuller and Balogun, and Rems. Wasn't Balogun's best match. 11 of 14 passing, 3 shots, none of which were on target. Hold the play was quite good in the first half. He got deep into the opposition's end to kind of win the ball there, pass back, and create chances. He had a shot from 25, 30, maybe 35 yards out that bounced just wide of the post, but he hit it very sweetly. Maybe 5-10 minutes later, a ball fell to him near the top of the box, and he tried to rip it through what was a very crowded area. And it just flew over the bar, but I like the idea because the goalie did not see it at all. But meanwhile, another win for Stade de Rennes. They are still undefeated under Will Still in League One. Just an unbelievable run, and it's great to see Flo being a part of it. Speaking of great runs, Coventry City is as in form as any team in Europe right now. Brooke Norton-Cuffey only played the final 20 minutes in what was a 4-0 win over Huddersfield Town. And, you know, he did well. This was a dominant performance from Coventry City. They weren't necessarily dominant in the final third in terms of their possession, but they were just all over them in the middle of the park. They were deadly on the counterattack. Brooke Norton-Cuffey, 9 of 12 passing, 1 of 1 successful dribbles. Did what he needed to do, came in, you know, was an outlet, was good on the defensive end, and Coventry are in promotion form. They're pushing for that 5th or 6th spot in the promotion playoffs. I really like watching them. They have a lot of great talents. Jokeries is going to be a Premier League player next year, no matter what, whether it's Coventry or another team. He is Ivan Tony Light. I will say this over and over again, and I hope somebody is hearing me, and somebody will give me credit when he gets compared to that in the Premier League next year. But this guy is a playmaking center forward. He's an outlet. He's a physical presence. He can score with both feet. I'm a big fan. And Gustavo Hamer as well will be in the Premier League next year. I'm fairly certain about that. Nathan Butler Oyedehi got his first start since his first match with Accrington Stanley. Played 71 minutes in a 2-1 win over Forest Green Rovers. A big result for Accrington Stanley. He kind of played in a more attacking midfield role. There were 2 strikers ahead of him. Interesting. Not really. I mean, we kind of played a little false nine for the U21s. But he's mostly a winger in his younger years. Moved to center forward where he's seen himself do his best. But he did well in this area. 9 of 14 passing, 1 shot off target, a key pass, 1 out of 1 successful dribbles, 1 of 1 on his crosses, won all 3 of his ground duels. He drew a red card challenge when he won a ball in midfield, made a pass forward on a bouncing ball, got a high cleat to his thigh, player was sent off. And from that free kick, Accrington Stanley scored a goal. So definitely played a part in a major result for them. Later in the match, he took down a cross from his left back, kind of swinging in, took it down with his right foot, fired with his left foot, a little too powerful, just over the bar, but well taken, and like to see him getting aggressive in the box like that. And once they went up 2-1 in that match, he was replaced with a more kind of defensive-minded player in that attacking midfield role, just to kind of add some security in the middle of the park as they went on to secure that 2-1 win. And Butler Oyedeh, he got to play the final 27 minutes in a 3-0 loss to Ipswich. He only touched the ball 4 times in this 30 minutes, 4-4 passing, 1-1 on his long balls. But nonetheless, good to see him getting the opportunity and making the most of each opportunity in the way he can, especially in his starts. I don't know that the playing time is always going to be there for him. He's a good option for Accrington Stanley. He brings pace that they don't have, and he's implementing himself. So we love to see it. Mika Beerith made his return, a big week of returns here. Made his return, came on in the 88th minute in a 1-0 loss to PSV, touched the ball twice, but great to see him back in play and on the pitch after a long out of injury, and he was really finding form a little bit, so I hope he gets back into that starting 11, because I really think he's one of my favorite players to watch. His technical security and what he adds is lovely, and you know, I expressed that in a thread a few months ago that didn't get quite the reception I thought it would, but hopefully we'll get to see him play a little bit more. Another return, Mazid Agungbo. He did come on in the 91st minute in a 1-0 loss to Northampton Town, 3-3 passing, took a shot that was blocked as they were chasing the game. But he did get to play a little bit of a juicier amount of time than he has been playing. Played 32 minutes in a 3-0 loss to Sutton United. 9 of 16 passing, a key pass, 1 of 1 successful dribbles, 1 his only tackle, 2 of 3 ground duels won, and 2 of 3 aerial duels won. Played some, mostly came at left back, but then Crawley Town got a red card and their center back was sent off, so Mazid Agungbo slotted in there. Nearly found himself in a great scoring opportunity off of a rebound, but he was flagged offside, which was unfortunate. And then the third goal came while he was on the pitch, playing as in a center back pairing, but their right back was 5-6 yards behind the center back pairing, so a player was just cleaning on goal, and there was nothing he could do about it. I don't know what the right back was doing. Ryan Alibiosu comes back into the starting 11 to play 45 minutes in what is his worst appearance in senior football, I guarantee it. 3-1 loss to Rangers, and he did just about everything wrong. Which is tough when you don't play a lot, and then you come in to play one of the best sides in the league, and you're the worst side in the league. I don't blame him. 3 of 4 passing, 1 out of 5 ground duels won, 0 of 1 aerial duels won, and he committed 3 fouls, including giving away a penalty. He wasn't just him. The Kilmarnock back five got beat to every single ball in this match. The back line was walking around and in complete disarray. Alibiosu made no attempt at getting up for a lofted ball that he could have headed clear on their second goal, and instead it bounced off of a player to a Rangers player on the penalty spot who had an easy finish and scored. The third goal came off of a penalty after Alibiosu lost his man running in behind again, and as he tried to recover, his hand kind of got stuck out and he stopped the ball, made contact with it, and penalty given. Goal scored. Alibiosu hooked at halftime. Again, this whole team looked horrific in this first half, not just Ryan. Tim Akinola returns to the starting 11 for 2 matches, plays 90 minutes against Gateshead and Southend United. Chesterfield win both of those matches 2-1, and it's not even a question how much better they are with him on the pitch. Taylor Foran played 90 minutes in a 1-1 draw with Tranmere Rovers. Not his best game distribution-wise, 14 of 33 passing, only 2 of 8 on his long balls, but he won 9 of 10 aerial duels, and that's what we know Taylor Foran for, so it's good to see him doing what he does best. And a big point, honestly, for Hartlepool United, who are just absolutely dogging it at the bottom of League 2, right alongside Crawley Town. One of those teams is going to go down. It's going to be an absolute battle between him and Mazid Agungbo's side. I don't know. I really don't know which team is going to have. I think Hartlepool is going to stay up. That's my guess. I think Crawley Town are a little, they try to be too expansive, where Hartlepool know what they're doing. They're just kind of trying to play smash and grab football. And when it works, I think it will work enough to get them out of it. Marquinhos, after that great debut, only plays 1 minute, comes on in stoppage time in a 3-2 win over Millwall. Odd to not play after that awesome debut. But obviously Norwich are a good side, and it's tough to, you know, keep yourself on a side like that. Alex Kirk played the full 90 in a 2-1 loss to Inverness. He seemed a little awful, tired in this match. I think he spent a lot of minutes, especially after his injury. And so then he was benched midweek in a win over Greenock Morton, which was huge for Iron United in the playoff push, and now they're just 5 points back of first, which is the automatic promotion spot. So big matches ahead for Ayr United. Billy Vigar and Keto Taylor-Hart both played the full 90 in a 3-0 loss to Leeds under 21. Derby County still just has that 1 point they got against Sunderland last week. Vigar played on the left wing, though, with Taylor-Hart on the right wing. New position kind of for Billy Vigar. They're just at such a bad place for Derby County right now. Their whole youth system has to play for the first team because they can't sign anyone. So then the whole under-21 side is just kind of a makeshift situation, obviously bringing in two Arsenal players on loan to play with the under-21s. It's an odd situation. In terms of the players who did not feature this week, Charlie Patino, you might have noticed we have not spoken about him yet, benched for the match with Burnley, which ended in a 0-0 draw, which is a huge point for Blackpool, who are at the bottom of the league at this point in terms of their form and are struggling to find a case for how they are going to be able to stay up. A great result. Really great result for them, but an opposition I really would have liked to see Charlie play against. You can understand this is a match against a top side. Mick McCarthy is trying to keep Blackpool up, and he went with experienced midfielders who are going to be rigid to their position and come away with a point. So you can't blame the manager. Hopefully this is not a sign for what's to come over the next couple months for Charlie Patino. Two matches in a row not featuring. Miguel Aziz, no action whatsoever for Wigan Athletic, neither with the U21s nor the first team. Tyrese John-Jules, some good news, back in training. Manager being cautious with him, but cannot say enough about his character and what he brings to this team off the pitch as they're fighting for promotion. In other good news, Nikolai Moeller is still injured, which means he missed out on the 13-0 thrashing that Den Bosch took to Zwolle. I have nothing else to say about this. I'm sure everyone saw it, but Nikolai Moeller was not involved. And then on to our goalkeepers. Arthur Okonkwo kept a clean sheet in a 2-0 win over Austria Lustenau. Three saves for him. Did a nice job protecting his near post on one of those weird balls that comes in that's like, is it a cross? But it could sneak in accidentally. Did well to get to one of those quickly, but not too much for him to deal with in this match. Ovie Ejehiri was not involved in a friendly with Tromso from Norway. And Tom Smith still on the bench for Colchester. It doesn't look like he'll be really getting a chance unless Kieran O'Hara gets injured or comes across a really bad run of form. And that's everyone. Kind of an interesting week. A lot of returns made for some guys who've been out or not involved, which we love to see. Hopefully Charlie Patino back in action this coming week and Miguel Aziz gets his situation sorted out. But nonetheless, thank you for listening. We're coming up on an international break soon, which is always a fun time. So we'll be keeping you up to date on Twitter. And obviously with Away From Hale End here next week.